are listening to the McCarthy Project live from Minnesota, where we have been attacking life and sports since 2001.
Hello, everybody. This is Sean Goodsell, and I'm with Stephen McCarthy from the McCarthy Project, and we are excited that you have chosen to join us today. And I am even more excited about the topic that Stephen's going to address today. I don't believe that there is actually a more important subject than addressing the role and some of the function within the central nervous system and how it plays out in life and sport. So, Stephen, welcome to the McCarthy Project today, and what do you have for the listeners today?
Yes, thank you, Sean, and thank you for being on the show. We've talked a lot about it. We do the Mental Edge today together, and I'm very excited to have you on the show on this side, because I really do want to make this subject about life and sport. It is all cool to talk about success in athletics, but we have to realize, like we talked earlier today, about this is life, and we need to make sure that the things that we're doing not only improve our performance on the court, but as well as help us in the long-term quality of life. And I think the ideas that we're going to be bringing across today will really hopefully cause people to think and to see that there is some ways that you can elevate your performance by simply changing a few things. It doesn't have to be something that you have to spend $3,000 or buy this special drink or something like that. It's something that you can use in your home. So I'm very much looking forward to talking about how we can improve our life and improve how our brain and our body work, for sure.
Well, and what I like about your approach here today, Stephen, is you want this to be real life stuff. You want it, you know, it could be very tempting to get into all the science and all of the small details of the central nervous system. And I know that your passion here today is to take this subject matter and present some very life and sport relevant information so that the listener can walk away and have real quality, clear points of application. And I think the listeners are going to be thrilled. And whenever you give people quality information, you're giving them power. And that's what I see you doing here today. You're going to take information that you've researched and studied. You're going to be a good steward of that information, serve it to your listeners so that they can have power in order to make qualitative changes that result in better life and sport experiences. So thanks for your research. Thanks for the work you've done on this. And I'm looking forward to hearing how you present this information.
Yes, thank you. And I do feel that there's a lot to be said, and I do want to reiterate that I do want to take the application approach today versus the scientific direction. I have put up on our website all the research, and I've got a neurosurgeon, I got Dr. McCullough, I've got all the really high-level stuff, if you will. If you're interested in more information and getting the real deep what is the real science that's going on, and if when you talk for an hour and you make a mistake and it's not exactly perfect, that guy will be able to help you out as far as get you going in the right direction. Because the big thing we want to do is we want to find a way to elevate our life, and then athletics comes with it. So again, looking forward to today's subject, and I am all as always, and I'm going to move us over, Sean, but I am always looking forward to Thistle. He has a great song called I Am Ready. It's iamthistle.com. It's called Free From the Trap is his album. But as always, I like to start with the music, because I think it's a great way to get your war clothes on and get ready to rock and roll.
Good deal. We'll see the listeners on the other side.
They thought they was gonna kill me with all their hate. Let them hoes blow, baby. You can hate me all you want to, cuz it's only gonna make me stronger.
I don't think they hear me, dog.
You can't stop this, dog. You can't stop this.
It's
God's plan, and I'm ready.
I'm ready.
I'm
ready.
I'm free now.
I'm ready.
I got my mind right.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
I'm ready. I'm ready.
out on your boy and they left me for dead. Blood in my eyes, thorns on my head. Only thing that I can hear is what my savior say. While I'm in my own blood and I can't feel my leg. But I'ma live, I'ma live. I will not die. Got up off the ground and I wiped that blood up out my eyes. Got my mind right, got my grind right. Stood up, now it's time to rise. Been resurrected, resurrected. I am alive. Blood drip, headed for war. Fire in my eyes. Ready for war, don't turn it back. I got my dog with me, 300 of us. Young Leonidas, take on the whole city. We don't retreat, we do not quit. We are not the same to live and die for the truth. Let's be plain, this is why I came. And if I want you this dog, I probably hate me too. But the power that I come in is too big for you. To stop, so stop it for me before you go too far. My mind right, the time right, boy, and I'm ready for war.
Into the sky, my war goes on.
Athletes, parents, and weekend warriors are pulled in every direction by coaches, the media, and the local trainer. Confusion enters, and the questions go unanswered. Is my current trainee capable of developing my full potential, or should I look for additional information? How do I prevent injuries from occurring? How does nutrition really work? Am I leadership material or mentally tough? And the ultimate question, what is the best path for me or my athlete's long-term development in life as well as an athlete? The McCarthy Project will turn your frustration, guesswork, and confusion into a clear and concise path that will allow the athlete to reach their full potential. We will work directly with you and your athlete on a personal and individual level to develop a path for the attainment of elite performance in life and sport. For more information on our products, for working with athletes on a local, national, and international level, contact us at 612-741-0982 or visit themccarthyproject.com. That's 612-741-0982 or themccarthyproject.com.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Sean Goodsell with the McCarthy Project, and I want to start by encouraging you to go to the McCarthy Project website and look at all the research that Stephen has done and all the links that he's posted there. I think if you really do have an interest in this subject matter, I do think you would be well served to go and look at those links and read the stuff he's put there, watch the YouTubes that he's put there. I think they're fantastic. I think that the information is quality. And I do think that your time would be well spent by going and taking a look at that stuff. So, Stephen, we're back here. We're gonna kind of get into the topic now a little bit and guide the conversation in the direction that you want to go here. You've chosen to talk about the central nervous system, and let's start by asking the question: what is the role of the central nervous system in life and sport?
Yes. And I think this is a big question because in the world of training, you know, and in the world of athletic performance, you know, so much of a coach's, you know, information is 80% is in your head, or, you know, it's not necessarily what you are doing with physical talent, it's what you're thinking and all these different pieces to the puzzle. But also on the training aspect too, where, you know, they are trying to give you a certain number of reps or a certain number of rest, amount of rest, and do all these things that challenge your central nervous system, which is basically made up of your brain and your spine, and that is what communicates to your muscles. That I think today's discussion, I think, is in two parts. And what I want to kind of accomplish today is to give the listeners some structure, some foundational pieces that they can build upon to put that training on top of. Because in today's world, especially in the United States, is that the systems that we're building athletes upon
are not solid. And what I would mean by that is an athlete might be playing 2-3 different sports, and then he may be in such a hurry that he's not eating, you know, properly or even eating at all. You know, we've had athletes that have said that I had a Pop-Tart for breakfast and I had a banana for lunch, and I'm showing up for my 3-hour basketball practice and wondering why I'm not feeling so hot, you know, or I'm not able to perform at my absolute best. And people don't realize that, first of all, they're not putting enough energy into their system to use. And then on top of that, more times than not, it is a Pop-Tart or it is Dorito chips or something like this, which is processed food. And it really does set a standard for your body to not work properly. And so all the greatest training in the world, all the greatest coaching in the world don't do you any good because your brain is not working properly. Excuse me. And so that's kind of what I wanted to accomplish today, is that how do we essentially take the blanket off of our brain so that we can actually listen to what the coach is saying, understand him, do what he asks, and then also our body receive or restore from the training and therefore improve. So we're going to be talking, Steve, about the world of excitotoxins.
Stephen, can I ask a question real quick?
Sure.
Just as a point of clarification, are you saying that the central nervous system is basically the command center, and if you aren't fueling the central nervous system in a manner that allows it to maximize the work you're putting in, that in some ways you might be investing $10 and only getting $5 out of yourself for productivity because your central nervous system isn't functioning optimally?
That is correct, and I would almost put it further than that. If take the analogy of $10, you might be receiving $10 worth of information, but you might be leaving $9.50 there. I mean, it's that level. I mean, the analogy is spot on, but I think kids nowadays are working out so many different ways. Like I had numerous athletes, I'm just thinking of one off the top of my head, where they are playing basketball in Rochester, which is about a 2-hour drive away, and then they play soccer up at Blaine, which is, like I say, 3 hours the other direction, and they're playing in tournaments on the same weekend, driving back and forth, you know what I mean, picking up McDonald's along the way or something like this, and wondering why they can't perform at their level. And then we've talked about it earlier, Sean, we as coaches want to yell at them to produce, when there is not even a chance that they will be able to, because they're so depleted in so many different ways. And the part that I want to kind of address today is the brain and how do we even process all that information.
Good deal. Well, I'm excited to hear about this because I know the value and the power of the central nervous system. And
Yep. And
I know that if it doesn't function optimally, I know the effect it has on thinking. I know the effects it has on coordination. It virtually is the command center of the entire body. So I'm really looking forward to hearing what you have to say about this whole important topic. So let's start with, you know, what are, you know, you talked about the structure and the development. What are the excitotoxins, and what's the definition of that?
You know, it really is interesting because, so we'll go to the next step, which is, okay, your body works based on what you put inside of it. What fuel are you putting in? We've all heard the analogy is that if you have a Ferrari and then you put in,
water,
you know, regular gas, it's not going to work right.
Yeah.
Unless you put the premium in, all that kind of stuff. If you got a nice car, you want to put the good stuff in. And in the today's world of processed foods, GMO, genetically modified organisms, and all the different pieces to the puzzle, these food sources and water and the air we breathe and the environment we live on all go into our body. Let's just leave it at that point. It then goes up through our blood system, you know, either, you know, through our gut or then, you know, and then into our bloodstream and then into our brain. And these substances, when they hit our brain, would normally just be food. It would just be, you know, organic, you know, food sources, water, you know, different things like that. But what ends up happening with all the different science and all the different chemicals that we're putting in, essentially those chemicals are running up into our brain. And those chemicals have become a name, if you will. And they're called food toxins or excitotoxins. And a guy named Russell Blaylock, back in the mid-90s, coined the term excitotoxins. And what essentially happens is once these chemicals get up into your brain or into your body, it overstimulates them. The nerve cells go into this overstimulation mode, and then they die. And they're not regenerated. Essentially, you're in a position where you're putting all these processed chemicals into your body, these excitotoxins, that gets to your brain, it overexcites, it kills the cells, and then you put more in. And this continue this process over and over and over again. And one of the greatest things about what Russell Blaylock, or Dr. Blaylock, said was that diseases don't occur until 60 to 70% of these nerve cells have died. That's when the symptoms start to show up. So you got to think about all this time as athletes, we've all been in a position where we ate something and we got a headache, or we feel like we got a blanket over our brain, you know, or over our thinking, and we just can't seem to remember things. And all these different pieces to the puzzle start to put these thoughts together, and you're like, well, why is not my brain not working right? Why is it that I can't understand what people are saying? And to a large extent, you're putting these food items, excitotoxins, into your body, and they're moving right up to the brain, and it's causing it not to work properly. And there's a whole bunch of science. Good.
Well, I was just going to say, I can now track with an athlete or a person that is lacking focus, and there could be a lot of explanations for that, but one of the explanations could be is that they've spent so much time putting excitotoxins into their brain that it compromises their capacity to focus.
Yes.
And retain information in a way that allows them to execute on it.
Yes. And it's as simple as, like, I'll give you some, like, MSG. We've all heard about the aspartame, fluoride. Fluoride is in the water. You know, it's put into our water system as the city puts it in there, thinking that they're going to try to help us with cavities and our dental hygiene. And it actually, there's research that shows that that's false. I just posted up an article on our website from Harvard that actually says that it could potentially have detrimental effects to your IQ. This fluoride. So then you sit there and say, okay, fluoride is in the water. We drink water. How many times in this world have you been told or telling others, go get some water, go get some water, go get some water? And here it turns out that's the very thing that's causing their problems.
Wow, that's it's both humbling and scary at the same time to see how unconsciously and how easily we can compromise our central nervous capacity by simply drinking a glass of water.
And you think, oh, well, I drink water. You know what I mean? But what you have to realize is that if you just had a filter that filtered the fluoride and all the lead, and if you go to your local city, you can type in, you know, they always have the posted what's actually in the water, and they say it's drinkable, but then they also post what is actually in the water. And you'll find lead, mercury, all these other things that need to be taken out of the water. Now, you don't need to, in essentially, you know, there's some processes that actually kill the water and then bring it back through osmosis. But you actually just want to just basically filter the water, get rid of those bad components, and leave the actual good stuff for your brain. And so that's one aspect. Aspartame is another one. How many people chew gum? If you look on the side of a gum package, you'll see that says aspartame on it. And while the federal government says it's healthy for you, there's unbelievable amount of studies that actually show that aspartame is actually doing what we're talking about. And there's studies that actually show it. But why is it nobody knows about it?
And, because they haven't listened to the McCarthy Project show yet to know that they should be looking out for this kind of stuff.
Well, when you don't think about it, but it's and that's where I liken this to. It's a subject that, you know, a lot of people don't want to hear necessarily because they all, well, so now you're telling me I can't chew gum. Yes, you're right. Unfortunately, you're going to have to give up your gum. Yes. Oh, that Gatorade you're drinking that's got high fructose corn syrup in it, maybe you want to have a homemade soft sports drink. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But you don't realize Gatorade has been so put down into our conscious at such a deep level that that's what you drink. But then you sit there and see, now there's two different things that go down here, is that not only is that, it's called excitotoxicity, where it actually is essentially killing your nerve cells, but there's also, in the strength training world, the mitochondria is the kind of like the energy-producing portion of the cell, you know, the mitochondria. And what ends up happening is these excitotoxins actually go after the mitochondria, and they actually stop it from working. So now are you not only getting into a position where you got this blanket over to you, but the energy of your body is being depressed, and how are you going to go into a workout with your high-level energy when the things that you're putting in is depressing it?
It'd be interesting. Wouldn't it be interesting to be able to watch yourself eat or drink a glass of water with fluoride in it and have like a bird's eye view of how this process plays out? I wonder if people would still want to claim their right to drink, chew, or eat whatever they wanted if they actually got to witness what was going on in their body and how it was compromising their energy and their quality of life.
Exactly. And that's one thing, because this is so ingrained into our everyday living. You know what I mean? It's something that you don't question. You go up to the local grocery store, you know, and you look at the grocery store, and 90% of it's in a box or in a bag or something like that. But when you get down to dig down deep into these concepts, you realize that that whole 90% is actually a no-eat zone. And I'm not going to say that I've been perfect. It took me 3 years to get my family to the point where I've changed the habits to get to a position, and I'm not there yet. I only define myself as 60 to 70% there. It is such – you have to realize that all the marketing on TV, all the things in society, all the things everybody does – I'll give you an example. About when we started this process, we didn't buy Dorito chips. We bought we went to another grocery store and we bought their chips, which advertises non-GMO, but it's a brand nobody knows, obviously. It doesn't have any of these excitotoxins, food toxins in it. My daughter actually was chastised and made fun of because she didn't have Dorito chips. And that's,
so basically,
that's a little example. I'm not cool because I'm not eating Dorito. I mean, you think about it.
Well, you look at this, and when you start taking research that that attacks certain marketing scams and propaganda, when you start taking research to reveal and pull the cover off what the food industry is doing, you realize that our whole food industry is actually a disease-making, creating entity. And
yes,
people don't want to recognize this. They don't want to say it out loud, because if they do, they look like a fool for continuing to eat disease-making food. you know, and if they don't, then they have to make significant changes in the way that they do their life. And again, as we've talked about many times, people do not like to change. They'd rather stay with what they know than do something different, even if it kills them. That's the sadness behind this whole thing.
All right, because I'm gonna go through this. You think about this list. I'm gonna go through the a partial list of environmental food toxins that lead to this excitotoxin scenario in your brain. Aluminum,
great,
which is actually in deodorant. Mercury in the water, lead's in the water, fluoride's in the water, MSG in all of its different forms are in food, aspartame's in food, pesticides and herbicides. Oh, I think that's put on all of our actual food that grows on a farm. Oh, that's pretty much everything. Industrial solvents, food dyes, and excessive vaccinations. Even vaccinations on those ones, oh, I'm going to get the flu shot. Those actually cause problems in your brain, and there has been numerous studies that show that those go directly to your brain.
Yeah, I've renounced. If I'm going to get sick, I'd rather get sick than put that stuff in my system.
Exactly.
And it always doesn't challenge my common sense to understand why you would shoot illness into your body as a way of preventing illness. That just never made sense to me. So
exactly. And so you start to think about it, but the biggest things that I want to kind of convey today is that below this, there's a serious amount of science and people that are have done far more research and are 20 and 30 years in advance of us have realized that ultimately that blanket that you feel like you're under. Well, like think about it. Another thing too is how many people, which I've been just as guilty, and I'll share a little bit later in the show, is that I thought I needed my morning Starbucks coffee every day because I felt like there was a big blanket on my head. That was what I needed to get started, if you will.
Yeah.
But you realize, after doing this, it's like that could have been the blanket. I was just what I was eating. So here I am perpetuating the problem by not getting enough of the proper food and then supplementing it with caffeine.
Well, you've just proven the theory that ignorance is certainly not bliss. And I think a lot of us, including myself, live ignorantly so much to a point that we really don't understand what we're doing to ourselves. And after a break here, Stephen, why don't you come back on the other side and let's get into more of the practical side of things and how people can take proactive steps towards reducing the level of excitotoxins in their brain so that they can really truly attack life and sport with greater quality.
Athletes, parents, and weekend warriors are pulled in every direction by coaches, the media, and the local trainer. Confusion enters, and the questions go unanswered. Is my current trainee capable of developing my full potential, or should I look for additional information? How do I prevent injuries from occurring? How does nutrition really work? Am I leadership material or mentally tough? And the ultimate question, what is the best path for me or my athlete's long-term development in life as well as an athlete? The McCarthy Project will turn your frustration, guesswork, and confusion into a clear and concise path that will allow the athlete to reach their full potential. We will work directly with you and your athlete on a personal and individual level to develop a path for the attainment of elite performance in life and sport. For more information on our products, for working with athletes on a local, national, and international level, contact us at 612-741-0982 or visit themccarthyproject.com. That's 612-741-0982 or themccarthyproject.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the McCarthy Project, and I am so honored to be sitting here with Stephen McCarthy and so blessed to listen to what he's saying about how our central nervous system and its functioning either allows us to, you know, reach and live up into our potential, or because of simple things that we oftentimes unknowingly do, actually compromise the effectiveness and the efficiency of the way our central nervous system functions. And we've been talking about the role of excitotoxins and the sources for which they come from and how they impact the functioning of the brain. And Stephen's been gracious to post research and a lot of the things he's used to generate his own thoughts on this subject. And I'd encourage the listener to go take a look at this stuff. It's quality information. It's credible information. And if utilized, it can and really launch people into a different quality of life. So, Stephen, you know, on the other side now, can you give us some, you know, ideas about what should be addressed and how we can slow down excitotoxicity and how we can begin to maybe restore and fix some of the mitochondria, which is the life force of the nervous system?
Yes, and thank you, Sean, because it really is not a difficult process. It's funny, as I was preparing for the show, is that you could, I mean, when you listen to neurosurgeons, I mean, they talk and they use words that, you know, you and I have never heard of before, and you realize the amount of time it takes for them to put this all together. But on the other hand, you have to realize
that the solutions that they're offering are not difficult. I mean, it's simply like on the fluoride question, what do we need to do? You need to buy a water filtration system, which we sell in the McCarthy Project store from Berkey, anti-gravity, you fill it up and you drink the water out of that that system rather than just out of the tap. And that alone solves the water scenario. This is not that more difficult than that. It's funny because we were talking earlier on the Mental Edge today about the simplicity, that the simple things in life are what is of the most interest, not this hyper-complex scientific piece. Not that we don't want it, but it's simple things. On the other side, as well, is that instead of going into the grocery store and you got the 90% piece, why don't we actually eat a tomato or eat grapes? You know what I mean? Or eat, you know, some warm breakfast cereals that you have to actually make in the morning, not in a box, that are actually organic. And these are the things that you can do by just taking something that's not eating something that's in a wrapped form, to just eating actually the food. Solved.
You know, and I think people in general wage war against change just for the sake of change. And so I think you have to make things simple and give people clear points of application, because most people won't act on things that aren't clear and aren't basically simple. So
yes,
to take the step to change the quality of your water by purchasing a filtration system is easy. to be able to start eating foods that are life-bearing and life-giving as opposed to processed and dead, that's simple. And you may not want to do it, but that's a different issue than whether it's simple.
Exactly. And that's the thing, what you'll find is because these are the things that you will fight in this process. And you say, well, how does this really have anything to do with training? I mean, I can already see people saying, I want to listen to this about how to jump 6 inches higher and all that kind of stuff. But if you go to school for any sort of training, you realize that they talk about the mitochondria and they talk about the central nervous system are the pieces and the components that are the building blocks to your success as an athlete. If those pieces are not working properly or are 80% impaired, how in the world will you ever accomplish your full potential?
Well, and some people just resign themselves to the fact that their potential is 20% of what it is and accept that. And
yeah, or they don't realize that they actually have. Yeah, exactly.
20% feels like 100% because they don't know any better.
Exactly.
So that's why the presentation of quality information like you're bringing, anytime somebody who's knowledgeable about a subject clearly presents that subject matter, which you have, for the sake of a person being able to improve and, in this case, attack the quality of life and sport, now it's up to the listener to decide what they want to do with it. And unfortunately, there are 90% of the people listening will do nothing with this information. And the 10% that do something with the information will be the 10% that, in a sense, rescued their time investment by listening to this radio show.
Yes. And see, now this is the part that comes to the, you say, okay, great, I understand. By the way, if you're a parent, get ready for World War III, by the way. When you tell your son or your daughter you can't have Oreos, okay? Just be ready, okay? I'm going to tell you in advance that you're going to have to stand up and say that you can't. Your son and daughter can't have Oreos, or they can't have Gatorade. But I'm not saying that this has to be a hard and fast. If you put those into your body, you're going to die, if you will. But there's a great concept of Lauren Cordain, he's part of the Paleo Diet, and Rob Wolf have the 80 or 90% rule. Just make sure 80 or 90% of the week you're living under these principles. And hey, go have fun one night. If you got to go to the ice cream shop and you don't know what's in it, go to the ice cream shop, enjoy it. That's what we do as kids, you know what I mean, or as parents. We bring our kids to the ice cream shop. So there is some balance, and I've had to learn that myself personally, is how to balance these concepts away, because there is some fun in life sometimes, and it does mean going to the ice cream shop. And if it has some MSG in it, you should not eat the ice cream to not enjoy it, if that makes sense.
But, well, and you know as well as I do, Stephen, that all we look for in people that we coach and work with is progress. So if 90% of your day is made up of processed food and bad water, then improve your lifestyle by 15%.
Yeah.
And try to do that each week so that you're moving progressively towards a healthier, more sustainable lifestyle change. And we both know that when people do that, they report consistently a better quality of life and the ability to attack the things that they're most passionate about with greater energy, greater joy, and with greater success.
And see, the other part, too, is that you'll see, listeners, if you take the time to do this, that literally after about 3 or 4 days, maybe a couple weeks, you'll start to say, man, I actually don't feel like I'm in a fog. I am thinking cleaner and sharper, and I have more energy. And it was all because of what you were putting in your body. They're actually in one of the videos I posted on there. Dr. Blalock talks about one component of your brain is regenerated every 2 weeks. So you have to think about in your brain, things are changing every 2 weeks, some a little bit longer than that. But that's the shortest. But to give an idea, you think that in 2 weeks you can actually change the composition of your brain.
Isn't and that is absolute?
Go ahead.
That's mind-boggling, isn't it?
And
think about how your body rejuvenates itself with that degree of consistency. I mean, that is mind-boggling.
And you think about it. How many athletes wouldn't want to think clearly under – I mean, we talked about it. Under pressure, if your brain's in a fog or – it's not working 100%. You get under pressure, it's going to fail. But if it's working clearly, I mean, it's all the things that we talk about on the Mental Edge today have a direct application to what I'm sharing here, is that the foundational pieces of success in life and sport is thinking clearly and your body working the way it's supposed to. Then you add in training. Then you add in, okay, I'm going to eat at 30 minutes. Within 30 minutes after your workout, and I'm going to put this protein or that carb or whatever your general philosophy towards nutrition is, that if you don't create the foundation that your body is working and you're thinking, then all that extra work that you're doing is basically for naught. That's why you mentioned earlier the analogy of the $10. I even think I'm being generous in saying that you're going to get 50 cents worth of value out of that, because it really doesn't hold.
I agree with that. I totally agree with that. And if you don't do the basics, then you don't get the intermediate successes. And what you're saying is that if you're going to go through the work to train, if you're going to make the investments to train, then you ought to think about making the investments to put your body in a position to maximize the training that you're actually doing by doing some of the things you're talking about here.
Right, and it could be simply like a lot of people, we've talked about this as well, is the working hard scenario, where you just go out and work hard, work hard, work hard. Do you realize that if you do what I'm saying, potentially you could cut back 50% and get more benefit? And that's
oh my gosh, don't tell people that. They won't trust that. Because they have to come home sweaty and dying and beaten and sore. Otherwise, they feel like they didn't do anything.
Well, and more than likely, I mean, there is a possibility that the reason you're feeling like that is because your body's not working properly.
Yeah.
How about that?
Absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more on that. So, Stephen, why don't you recap what you've talked about today and let the listener just kind of take in what you're saying and then we'll conclude.
Yes. All right. Because this is one thing I'm gonna take the approach a little bit different. Is that as the beautiful thing about living life, in this industry, is that you always got to try it on yourself first. You know, it seems to be the never-ending mode. A lot of other people just get the information. Well, we as trainers actually try it out on ourselves first, you know what I mean, and see what's happening. And I actually did this process with myself, and it's taken me 3 years to get to a point. So this is not like a quick fix, because these are ingrained habits, you know what I mean? I've ate Cheerios my whole life. Now you're telling me I got to go get a different brand that doesn't taste the same. And interestingly enough, the reason why this all started, this whole industry of excitotoxins and MSG, was because they wanted to make the food taste better. So it really, that is the motive, was simply to make the food taste better and make you desire more to eat more. Could that also be the reason why we eat too much? If you get yourself problems with eating. So, anyways, how do we solve it and what can we do? Because that's the big part. There are, in the information that's on the site, I'm not going to take the time to go through today, but there's two places that you want to do. You want to work on the mitochondria, those powerhouses of the cell, and then also send the nutrients to your brain so that it's regenerating and thinking clearly. And there's a whole bunch, a list, and I'm going to list off three or four of them: magnesium, vitamin K, riboflavin, thiamine, you know, all these kind of things. And I'm not going to go through, there's a list of about 20 of them. If you go through and get the research, you'll see which ones. The next thing, once you see that, I'm going to give you a website. It's called healthaliciousness.com. And I'm going to try to spell it healthaliciousness.com. And what that site will do for you is it gives you all the labels of all the different products, like whether it's baking chocolate. You know, we've all heard that, okay, chocolate is good for you, but yet it's not good for you. Okay, we've all heard that big research came out that omega-3 was not good for you, but it is good for you, all this kind of stuff. Well, you get to pick your foods, and then you put together the things that you want to supplement. Like in my case, I wanted to supplement with selenium, magnesium, thiamine, and riboflavin. Well, you can take this comparison chart, put together the four items that you want to add to your diet. Like, these are the items that I've added to my diet. I wanted to add Brazil nuts, sunflower seeds, dark chocolate, parsley, and millet. And basically, for all the listeners, just go to the site and you type in whatever word. If you want to put a Snickers bar in there, put the Snickers bar in there. You'll see what the value is. You know, you'll see that the Snickers bar has 56 grams of sugar, where your dark chocolate has, you know, 3. So which one would you rather have? The dark chocolate. That, at least I would.
I'd rather have the Snickers bar until it challenges my excitotoxins in my brain. And then I'm thinking about dark chocolate. So
exactly.
So are you going to post that website on the mental or McCarthy Project, or are you going?
Yes, I'll put that up there because I had to do that. But basically, the end result is: first of all, you solve your water problem, then you basically take the processed foods out of your diet, enter in real live food, supplement a little bit along the way, put the combination together based on this site, and away you go. That's the solve of it.
So. I think we should lay out a challenge to the listener, because I know that change is the byproduct of accountability. So what do you think about challenging the listener today, Stephen?
I'm good with that, because that's one thing that you're good at, so I'm good with that.
So what about if we let's challenge the listeners to make a decision to commit to one change. And if it's water, then it's water. If it's going to that website and picking out four things, then let's. Or if it's getting rid of one processed food out of their diet, let's challenge the listener to let us know if they've made any changes around the information that you laid out today, and let's see if we can. Promote some movement around this vital information to see if we can encourage some people to keep moving towards healthier lifestyles around attacking life and sport. What do you think about that?
I'm good with that. And to put this into the right, is I think that is the best way to go about it.
it may be as simple, I mean, of saying, okay, I'm not going to eat Oreos this week. You know what I mean? Or something along this line. And then slowly, like you always, I mean, it's funny how, that's why I think it's a beautiful combination of training, you know, in this sense, and the mind, is because that is what you do. You try to slowly guide people the right direction. Eating properly is exactly that. It is not a fad diet. It is not, okay, I'm going to go do the South Beach diet this week. Not that the South Beach diet is bad, but when you want to change your lifestyle like that, it is a mental behemoth that, okay, you're able to discipline yourself for 3 weeks by sheer discipline, but then what happens? You get tired, and then you quit because you want to just go back and have an Oreo.
And the Oreo isn't bad as long as it's one and not a whole bucket of them. So it's like, that's why I agree. I like the combination of us working cooperatively together, because I know that the body and the mind work together.
Yes.
And the more effective and efficient and empowered the body is, the better and more powerful and efficient the mind is. And,
absolutely.
So I like to challenge the listeners to take one step. One step, practice consistently over time, leads to two. And two leads to four. Four leads, and before you know it, you've absolutely, without much pain, absolutely redefined and reinvented your whole diet.
Yes.
So
I
challenge the listener to give us feedback about what they're doing here.
And see, the thing that's interesting about the – and I want to put more on that because I know time is short. But this is also – you've heard about the low testosterone levels and increase in estrogen in males and all this kind of stuff. These are all tied together. And if you go get that research, you'll see that this is long-term far better for you if you take that one step and say, okay, one thing, and what am I going to take out? Okay, next week I'm going to take out this second thing. So I'm all good, man. It's I wish we had another 2 hours, to be honest with you. I didn't think I'd have enough content, but it's amazing when you do.
Well, let's keep this talk in mind so that next week's show we continue to add, and hopefully the listener will participate in giving us some feedback about changes they've made or research that they've done of their own to either support or, you know, go against what you've talked about, so we can carry on some ongoing dialogue about all these topics, because that's really where change takes place, is an ongoing dialogue and, quite frankly, quality information and accountability. So,
done.
Stephen, thank you. Thank you for the quality information, for the points of application, and I challenge the listeners to take action. Do something. Don't just listen to great information and let it sit. That's the biggest waste of wisdom that you can imagine, is not doing stuff with quality information. When somebody has taken the time, done the research to present you clear, concise, quality information, make sure that you take action. So thanks for listening today, and we look forward to another week next week where we present a new topic on the McCarthy Project. Thanks for listening today, and want to make sure that you have yourself a great day.